present the News Quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a listing from the Radio Times, read by Charlotte Green.
Humphrey Burton presents more music from Leonard Bernstein's Broadway years, including excerpts from the one-act opera Trouble in Tahiti, a study in domestic discord composed on his honeymoon.
Thanks to Raymond Fisher for sending that. Let's meet the teams. Please welcome, first on my right, Andy Hamilton and the newcomer, Eleanor Goodman. And opposite them on my left, Alan Corran and Sandy Toksvig. Andy, whose constitution is in a grave condition?
This week has seen the French and the Dutch reject the European constitution, but let's start with the French because there are more easy laughs there. And I cannot believe the naivety of the French government, because if you are an unpopular government and you are holding a referendum, surely the last thing you do is indicate to the people which way you'd like them to vote. Although I noticed that Chirac is sort of pretending that actually he thinks they just caught him on a bad day. Anyway, now the Dutch have said nay as well.
Knee.
Knee.
Nee. They've said knee, yeah.
Are they?
Apart from on the Zuider Zee where it's water on the knee. What?
You're going to be so sorry. You're going to pray they're going to cut that. I was in France for the referendum. All these are the people who write about Chirac. I hadn't realised this, although I go down quite a lot. They call him Monsieur Cinq Minutes. And I've never known why. I mean, especially if he's 74. But I mean,
it can't be a British thing, because we all know from this week's news it was 7.5 minutes.
Oh, was it? I didn't catch that.
Yes, it's down there. 7.5
Slowing up, is it?
No, we're slow.
He used to go like a train, he's now going like an English train.
He stops at important places.
Is it okay that I feel lost on some kind of heterosexual express? I have no idea. I did notice that Tony Blair says in the paper he's keeping a tactical silence. How can you tell? He may just be gobsmacked, do you know what I mean? And I was thinking about the fact that it's very difficult to know that we're all reading the same constitution, because it's all been translated into different languages. And I know this because my father was a member of the European Parliament for Denmark. And in common with most Danes, he spoke perfect English, but he was required to listen to all the speeches in our native tongue. So one day he was listening to an English MEP waxing large, and he was sort of half listening to the Danish translation, and the English MEP said, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." There's quite a long pause from the Danish translator, who finally came out with, "The vodka's good, but the meat's gone off." I have a funny feeling nobody knows what we're all voting for.
The European Constitution is in grave risk of being rejected after the French voted non and the Dutch voted nee, or nee. The future for Europe is uncertain. Some critics speculate that in the worst-case scenario, it could break down into separate groups with different ideologies, known otherwise as sovereign nations.
Known actually as variable geometry, which John Major dreamed up and was much maligned for.
Well, that meant that Denmark's a different shape from France.
That sort of thing. If you look at the map, it is.
Yeah. Good old John Major, eh?
No flies on him.
On the contrary.
Eleanor, welcome to the News Quiz. Who felt it was the right time to reveal his secret?
It's this gentleman who purports to be called Mr. Felt, who claims he was the man who told the secrets to... I always get confused whether it's Dustin Hoffman or Carl Woodward, but one of them, in the garage, about what Nixon did. So there you go, Mr. Felt. Do you think it was the right thing to do to step into the private arena? Did he do us a favour? I wonder.
It's a rather disappointing end to this saga, because for years it's been a great parlour game to try and work out who Deep Throat really was. And some of the more absurd suggestions, George Bush Sr. was one, Haig was one, Kissinger...
Well, William...
Yeah, very a 9-year-old William Hague. All right, all you people will be dead. But the one that really creased me up was the idea that Gerald Ford might have been Deep Throat. The idea that Gerald Ford could have managed a secret assignation time after time in a car park.
You're missing somebody out. When anybody says deep throat to me, I think of Linda Lovelace.
Obviously.
If I'd turned up in the garage, I'd be expecting more than information about Kennedy's battle plan.
Mark Felt, former chief investigator of the FBI, has revealed himself to be Deep Throat, the secret source that helped Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein uncover the Watergate scandal. It's taken Deep Throat 31 years to expose himself. It takes the average Big Brother contestant roughly 31 minutes. Sandy, who's been having a taxing time this week?
A taxing time? Is it the thing that we're not paying all the taxes because they're sending them out in the wrong... Yes, this is a marvellous thing. Here's your basic tax basics. If you are the government and you want to collect the taxes, it's a good idea to know where people live. And on the whole, I thought that was the point of the census. We kind of track down where people live. But no, some 90% or some phenomenal number, I'm not mathematical, which is why I'm not the Chancellor, but a huge number of letters are wrongly directed and be buckets and buckets of money out of pocket. Is that it?
That's exactly right.
It's really hard to make income tax jolly and cheerful.
It's Steve Lammy, the Lammy or Lamy, Charlotte? You've been reading his name out all day.
I haven't, actually. I haven't been reading it out at all, but I'll go for Lamy.
OK. It's Steve Lamy, Chief Information Officer of the newly merged HM Revenue and Customs, who disclosed that antiquated technology at the Revenue had led to up to £50 billion a year going uncollected. Mr. Lamy also disclosed that 31 million tax letters...
Actually, I think it's Mr. Lamy.
Yeah.
Mr. Lamy also disclosed that...
Mr. Lamy?
He's become quite camp now, hasn't he?
The head of HM Revenue and Customs also disclosed that 31 million tax letters were being sent to the wrong addresses. The Royal Mail instantly hailed the figures as showing a vast improvement in their operations. 2 points to Sandy. Alan, listen to this.
Songs where they find a lyric and they like it and they just keep going with it. It's just a play for an over.
We've been hand jiving at that point. We could have done a nice routine, couldn't we?
I knew it'd be when we had two women on the programme. I knew this. I can't get a word in edgeways. It's my question.
Alan, why are pop stars making a date with the eight?
Was that about Bob Geldof, the G8?
Yes.
Yes, there's going to be this G8 conference at Glen Eagles, but he wants the members of the G8 not to turn up if they don't have on their agenda cancelling African debt.
He put it a little stronger than that, didn't he?
He put it stronger than
that?
Yes. Well, he's a...
I don't normally approve of swearing on broadcasting. But I think it's rather fine that the way Bob Geldof swears, because, you know, most people swear over stupid little things, don't they? Like Wayne Rooney swears because he doesn't get a throw-in. You know, but I think Bob Geldof, you know, if you're going to swear about famine and poverty in Africa, I think that's...
Would it be very shallow to suggest that Bob Geldof should also, while he's thinking about all these serious things, think about a two-in-one hair product?
I can't believe how shallow it would be.
Well, would it be equally shallow to say that I will give my wholehearted support to Sir Bob's moves to try and raise awareness about the problems of Africa, provided Elton John doesn't appear? I just feel that someone needs to tattoo the words, "It's not about you, Elton," on the inside of his eyelids.
20 years after Live Aid, organiser Bob Geldof has announced plans for a series of concerts around the world designed to push Africa to the top of the political agenda at the G8 summit on July the 2nd. Among those appearing across the globe will be Dido, Coldplay, Bono, Jamiroquai, Sting, Robbie Williams, Paul McCartney and Elton John. The Crazy Frog was due to appear as well, but he said he found the other acts far too irritating. At the end of round one, Andy and Ellen have four, but so do Alan and Sandy. We start round two with a cutting from the South Manchester Reporter properties for sale column.
A ground-floor apartment within this highly sought-after development. The accommodation consists of entrance hallway, lounge, triangular kitchen, two double bedrooms, bathroom with shower, and a separate WC. No chain involved.
Thanks to Mark Levy for that. Andy, which politician was the real 1970s Silly Billy?
It's Dennis Healy is Silly Billy.
No. It's the spelling of silly.
Oh, you fool. Well, no, but you see, that doesn't work because the C is silent.
Yeah, well, a bit like Tony Blair and his tactical silence.
Harold Wilson was one of our more paranoid prime ministers. He's sort of the English Nixon. And he was obsessed that the Russians were bugging him on holiday in the Scilly Isles.
In fact, it was MI5 that was listening in, wasn't it? He was, I think, convinced that they were in the daffodils.
They must have been very small agents. Slightly jaundiced.
Yes. This man ran the country, everybody.
I know Harold Wilson, because we were both pipe smokers, and was a pipe smoker of the year thing, which he won, and I'd been a pipe smoker then. Eric Morecambe was second. I was about 14th down the list. And I made one of the jokes I made tonight. Well, it wasn't a joke. Harold was filling his pipe, and I said, I suppose a shag will be out of the question. And he didn't laugh, and I thought, I don't want this man as my Prime Minister.
Downing Street files released by the National Archive this week reveal Harold Wilson thought he was being spied on while on holiday in the Scilly Isles. Labour Prime Minister frequently holidayed on the Scillies, where he would go for long cliff-top walks. A practice which Gordon Brown is hoping to make mandatory at the next Labour conference. Eleanor, who's come under fire for massaging the prison figures?
This is about a prison in Peterborough that's considered that they need someone to come in from outside to give them massage, reflexology and other such alternative therapies. And the Tory MP there is very annoyed about this and saying, this is outrageous.
I think it's a very good idea. Apparently it's going to make all the prisoners relaxed. And they'll all be wandering around going, oh, I can't bother to cause trouble. That's just a wonderful idea. A bit of acupressure, acupuncture, other things beginning with acu.
They'll be hard to catch, though, if they get away, won't they? Because they'll be covered in all those aromatic oils.
Yeah. Some of them will be slipping through the keyhole before you. Where's that prisoner? I don't know, but there's a faint smell of lavender.
Managers at the United Kingdom Detention Services, which runs the private Peterborough prison, have come under fire after the prison advertised for two part-time alternative therapists to offer reflexology, aromatherapy, acupuncture, Indian head massage and Reiki. This isn't the first time the new prison has faced controversy. An inspector arriving in Peterborough said he found it dull, depressing and soul-destroying. But he thought the prison was really nice.
There'll be letters.
Oh. They're illiterate.
Then there'll be voicemails.
Sandy, listen to this. Sandy Wise making food glorious, testing for some.
Is this your basic Ruth Kelly area of food making?
Oh,
it's one of those. I can't tell you how pleased I am that somebody in the public eye has got a deeper voice than me. She she starts at her brogues and just stays there, doesn't she? She never.
No more about education.
She stands with a firm stance as well. She thinks that cafeteria food in schools is an oxymoron and that we ought to do something about it, and that Jamie Oliver apparently can't go to all the schools and cook for them. I don't know why. He seems to be everywhere else. And so we all ought to get the children to eat better. I just send packed lunches. Cook them something yourself.
What do you put in the packed lunch?
I have no idea. Actually, the truth is I get the children to do it, so... for your trick question. I was helping my daughter. My daughter's taken her GCSEs and I've been helping her to study, and we were doing religious education, And I said to her, now, darling, what different religions think about sex? This was the thing we got onto. I said, do you know what chastity is? And she said, oh, yes, that's when you want to have sex, but you can't because you've got your pants on. We left it at that. I thought the teachers could do with a good laugh.
My wife was talking to our daughter, and she thought maybe she'd start to broach some of the basics of sex education, but she didn't know how much she knew. So she said, do you know about periods? She said, yes, Mummy, I know all about periods. So my wife was quite relieved. You know, she said, oh, right, well, what do you know about them? She said, there's the Jurassic period.
This is the announcement from Ruth Kelly, Education Secretary, that dinner ladies will be asked to take a voluntary qualification to improve the quality of school children's food. Jamie Oliver recently came top of a poll of the most annoying celebrity chefs. The only person polled was me, but I think it's a fair result. Alan Mutt's putting the row into hedgerows.
I think they're Cupressae leylandii.
It is.
And they grow at an astonishing speed. It's Jack and the Beanstalk stuff, and you go around to the garden centre and you get these seeds and you chuck them in, and before you know it, your neighbour is in the bin. Because they grow enormously fast. And as a result of these things growing enormously fast, and 90% of all domestic murders being people stabbing one another with the shears they haven't brought back yet, people are now being enjoined to not grow a hedge higher than 6 foot six. If they do, the council will fine them £1,000.
They're anti-social orders for trees, essentially. They'll be put beside the roads and be forced to wear orange lights.
There is a gum that comes out of... Well, you've got to be nice to it. You've got to give it a bit of a stroke. But there is a gum that will come out of a Cupressus leylandii that is healthy. There is a... I mean, not just healthy, they're therapeutic. Very, very helpful in... offsetting the effects of Alzheimer's.
How does that work with the Alzheimer's thing? Do you have, like, a bewildered person licking a tree? What is that? No, but I mean, you just have... It's just the gum on its own, or is something...
I don't know, I can't remember. I knew this morning.
It isn't Alzheimer's anyway, I think.
Oh, right, or athlete's foot. It's one of those things.
It's actually for piles, what you do... You buy a very, very small tree and you stand there. And about a minute later, you get the most enormous surprise.
Have we turned into NHS Direct?
I was just trying to work it out. I was trying to write this down. If you planted a line of Leylandi on a ley line...
It's the old Bob Dylan hit. Leylandi, Lady Lake.
A new legislation which came into force this week means owners of Leylanda hedges over 2 metres tall could face fines of up to £1,000 if they don't cut them down. However, new research has discovered that Leylandi contain important medicinal and therapeutic properties and also have much better handwriting than most GPs. Jolly good. At the end of round two, well, everybody's still got 8 points. Before we start the final conclusive round, here's an extract from an interview with Tracy Emin in The Guardian.
I haven't had full penetrative sex for 2 years. It does come in my direction, and I push it away.
Oh, thanks, Ted Scapplehorn, for sending that in.
Who sent it in? What's that name again?
Oh, thanks to Ted Scapplehorn for sending that in.
Oh, rubbish.
That's Jeremy Hardy. Yes. That's who that is. He just wanted Charlotte to read it out.
Very good.
Andy, who isn't keeping mum about sleepless nights.
Oh, this is yet another one of those very helpful studies that's telling mums that they're useless. That they've done a study into why modern mums are no good at getting baby to sleep. And apparently it's because they're obsessed with getting the baby to sleep.
It takes twice as long now to put a baby to sleep. My mother was on 60 a day. I used to cough myself to sleep. I was out like a light in 10 minutes. Bit of a whiff of gin, 14 Kensitas, and I was away.
Also,
lovely land and nod.
It also depends, I think, on which baby it is. The first baby, I agree, you're very tense and you're in there all the time turning them like an omelette. The second one, you're still a bit busy because you've got the first one. And by the third one, you've with the wine and he's crying. Oh, I know, he'll be fine. There was another concomitant study done about how many men do their own ironing. Apparently, an astonishing 17% of men do their own ironing. Well done, you. And so they're having to make a new form of iron because it's regarded as a sort of power tool. It's true, isn't it?
It's and got pump-action iron.
Yeah. A turbo-force cyclonic-powered 100cc
iron. Big vibrator.
Yeah, and... beg your pardon. Because women try and get the wrinkles out, and men try and smooth it to death.
Because men suffer from wrinkles in all sorts of places, they don't want to see them on their clothes as well. It's a very good advertising jingle. It is, you'll look neat, talk about a treat, you'll look that with him in that with your feet. Dressed in style, brand new tile, father's old green tie on. I wouldn't give it up to your old watch chain. Old iron, old iron. Morphy Richards won't sell a lot on the back of that.
That's the first time I've heard you sing on this show, Alan. The last.
You did Lily Marlene in German back in 1941, as I recall.
Oh, dear
Laterne, by dear Corson, to
Ruth Kelly, as I live and breathe.
A new survey has revealed that mothers of young babies get 30% less sleep than their own mothers got. Experts agree that the best method for getting babies to sleep is to read them the 360-page EU Constitution. Eleanor, who's trying to unwrap the holiday package?
Can you nudge me?
No, certainly not.
Is this
that must have been Oliver's
answer.
Is it experimental travel?
It is.
Okay, this is this guy. I can't remember whether he's Belgian or something. I've interviewed him on another programme, Saturday mornings, 10 o'clock. And he thinks that it's quite dull just to go away for a romantic weekend with your wife. And so what you do is you agree with your partner to go to the same city but at separate times and hope you bump into each other. And he says it makes it much more exciting. He also recommends going around a city blindfolded.
And skiing down a mountain with a horse's head on.
Skiing down a mountain with a horse's head on. And it's just basically trying out something new. So what you do, for example, you might look at your house on an atlas and count six lines down and decide to go there. Or you might draw a heart around Venice and then try and walk round in the heart shape. It's experimental travel. He's barking mad.
Yes, exactly. Experimental Travel is a new guidebook for bored travellers that suggests weird, wonderful new ways to inject fun and spontaneity back into our holidays. The guide suggests risking your marriage by letting a total stranger choose your honeymoon destination. A process known as flying with EasyJet. So, I'll give 2 points to Sandy and 1 point to Eleanor for knowing a bit about the horse's head. Sandy, your real question, who is skating on thin ice with their competition?
Shouldn't Eleanor answer this, really,
I can answer this
strictly
one.
Speaking?
You're going to regret this, because I can answer it.
So can I. It's being nice.
But that's
not like
fair,
a regret
have a holiday
thing. It was like a nice
Sandy.
Thing.
So,
I like you now.
I told you about women. It's killer. Just answer the bloody question.
Sandy, who is skating on thin ice? Sandy?
Greenpeace.
Sandy, if I can rephrase that, who is skating on thin ice with their competition? Miss Toxwing.
I wonder if it's Greenpeace. Unless it's quite late, that's all I'm going to say about it. Would that be correct, Simon?
Eleanor.
What she really wanted to say, but she felt constrained because of her professional vested interest in the subject, is that Greenpeace is offering a competition to do something environmentally very correct, like put your rubbish in separate bags. And if you put enough rubbish in separate bags, you get a holiday on a jumbo jet, which will use lots and lots of fuel.
Yep.
I knew that, but I just couldn't be bothered.
Greenpeace in America has been criticised for offering exotic holidays with long-haul flights as prizes in Project Thin Ice, a global warming competition. Project Thin Ice hopes to prove the Arctic ice cap is melting because of global warming and not because the polar bears keep leaving the electric fire on overnight. Alan, who's kept their vow and finally broken the world record?
Oh, yes, this is the Aerosmiths. This is a lovely story. This is they've been married 80 years. He's 105, she's 100. And I want to go home to my wife because I've been here for 7 hours and I've only been married 40 years and we've got to get through the next 40 somehow.
Florence and Percy?
No, it's Anne and Alan. The Aerosmiths are Florence and Percy.
Oh, sorry.
That's quite all right.
Do you know what it is? It's the age thing. I get you confused.
They asked him the secret of their long marriage, didn't they? And he said it was two words, yes, dear.
This week, Percy and Florence Aerosmith celebrated their 80th wedding anniversary, making them the world's longest married couple. question Mr. and Mrs. Arrowsmith is most likely to be asked is, what's the secret of a happy marriage? The question they're least likely to be asked is, would you like to appear on Celebrity Love Island? Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Andy.
Well, this has been sent by Bill Holmes from Orange County, California, and it's about a nightmarish jury selection. Right after jury selection began last week, one man got up and left, announcing, I'm on morphine and I'm higher than a kite. When the prosecutor asked if anyone had been convicted of a crime, a prospective juror said he'd been arrested and taken to a mental hospital after he almost shot his nephew because he wouldn't come out from under the bed. Another would-be juror said he had alcohol problems and was arrested for soliciting sex from an undercover officer. I should have known something was up, he said. She had all her teeth.
Eleanor.
It's happily about a town near where I live, Hungerford, and it was sent in by Pauline Rogers, who must have been on holiday there because she comes from Cheshire. And it says, a pub landlord ran stark naked into the streets to collar a burglar who had broken into his pub. The licensee grabbed the thief and hurled him over the bonnet of his getaway car. A startled motorist drove by. However, the thief managed to wriggle free and was driven off at high speed. Police said the publican was naked. We hope that witnesses who were queuing in traffic may recall the incident.
Sandy.
This has been sent in by Glyn Heselwood of Knutsford, and it's from the Knutsford Guardian. Betsy Lythe would like us to point out that she does not have bed bugs. She was concerned that last week's story about Mite Tea Nights, a company set up to eradicate bed bugs, gave the wrong impression. Mrs. Lythe does not have bed bugs. The company treated her mattress only for a smell.
mine is from the Barry and District News, Simon. And it says, Dumbo, the plywood elephant that has stood on Barry Island promenade for half a century so that holidaymakers can put their heads through and be photographed, is to be removed following numerous complaints that more and more visitors are standing on the chair provided for children and poking their backsides through instead.
Thank you all. Now let's take a look at the final score, which are Andy and Eleanor 16 points, but Alan and Sandy have just pipped them to the post with 17. Before we leave you, here's a notice from the Alf Church Parish Church magazine, sent in by Grace Wetton.
The service will close with little drops of water. One of the ladies will start quietly, and the rest of the congregation will join in.
Goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Andy Hamilton, Eleanor Goodman, Sandy Toksvig, and Alan Corrin. The chairman was Simon Hoggett, and the news is read by me, Charlotte Green. The chairman's script was written by Lucy Clark, Simon Littlefield, and George Coles. And the producer was Katie Tyrrell.